Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol. Let's get straight to it. We're at the semi-final stages of the Nations League. Italy taking on Spain for a place in the final this weekend. I tell you what, this is a brilliant match. It's got to be a brilliant match when the little car comes out, delivers the ball. 17 minutes into this one, Stevie said on yesterday's show, Ferran Torres has no chance of scoring in this game. It would be the Manchester City man who'd make it 1-0.
Well, if your centre-back had cleared the ball, then he should have gone. No, you've got to give him credit. He's doing what good strikers do. They expect them, the defender, to miss it, and he puts it home.
Donnarumma, of course, the star of the Euros, had a nightmare here. Just let off. Bonucci with the goal line clearance.
Nearly catastrophic moment for Donnarumma. Off his hands, off the post and out, and Bonucci with the clearance, yes.
More from Bonucci here. This is on the half-hour mark. The referee not happy with what he had to say after a foul given against Italy, and it's a yellow card.
Well, it was a bad decision from the ref. It wasn't a foul.
It doesn't excuse that attitude, Stephen. Yeah, exactly. More on that in a moment. Insigne with a great opportunity. Got it at the target.
After having been completely outplayed to this point, this could have completely changed the game. I mean, he's, 13 yards out? You got to pick your spot. He did, but it was the wrong spot.
You knew when we showed Bonucci's first yellow that there would be a second, and here it is for the elbow on Busquets.
100% a yellow card, and of course, 100% a red card for Bonucci. He takes a look. He knows where Busquets is. Leads with the elbow. Have some of that. Eat my chicken wing. Yeah. I'll take that as a second yellow, and see you later, Bonucci.
So, Italy down. Oh, the referee enjoyed that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He snapped it.
Referee down to 10 men on yesterday's show. Stevie said he had no idea where the goals were going to come from for Spain. No way that Ferran Torres was going to score.
It's certainly easier against 10 men.
Hey.
You've got to say, the ball from Olazabal is fantastic. And the header matches the ball. What's this for a ball? Mm-hmm. And then look at the header. Oh, perfect. Back across the keeper, who's going the other way.
Damage really done, wasn't it, in the first half for Spain? They'd have chances to extend their lead here.
And it's good service to the back post. Mikel Oyarzabal gets on the end of it from Jeremy Pino's service, but unable to connect.
12 minutes to go. Once again, it's another opportunity for Spain. This time, Alonso denied by Donnarumma.
Yeah, I think this is a good strike from Alonso. He's going back across the keeper. He's got power. But you got to save from Donnarumma. That's a great save.
The one goal from Italy would come with 7 minutes to go. Would just make...
Hold on, did I not say yesterday that they can't defend properly?
What?
Spain. Oh, you forgot that bit.
Oh, yes, Stevie. That's the big takeaway, isn't it?
I'm just reminding you.
The massive takeaway from all of this.
Hey, my kind of ranked, by the way.
Pellegrini scores. Just stayed on side. And that the only bright spark for Roberto Mancini's side as Italy's run of 37 matches without losing a game is over. Spain thoroughly deserving their 2-1 victory and a place in Sunday's Nation League final. For more on the game, get ready for this close-up, ladies and gentlemen. It's Ian Dark and Stuart Robson.
Well, they say revenge is a dish best served cold, and that's what Spain did to Italy here. 3 months after their wonderful semi-final at the European Championships, which Italy won on penalties, Spain did get that revenge. They played beautifully, really. They scored 2 goals. There might have been many, many more in the match. 2 for Ferran Torres, who now has 12 in 21 appearances. He may be the goal-getter they're looking for, the Manchester City man. But Spain made a statement, didn't they?
They certainly did. I think Luis Enrique got his tactics absolutely right. There was talk about their play with a false nine, but in the end they played with a front three that kept on rotating their positions. At the time they had 2 up front with somebody slightly in behind, but you never knew which player was going to turn up where. And I thought Ferran Torres, right from the very first minute, he tried to run in behind Bastoni, and it just said to the Italian defence, we're going to try and run in behind you, but we're also going to come short of you. You won't know quite what to expect from us. And I thought they played it brilliant. And Busquets, we talked about the young players. Busquets, a senior player, was outstanding today.
Yeah, he was great. But let's talk about 2 young players. Gavi, the youngest player ever to play for Spain, 17 years and 2 months old, and he was brilliant.
He was. He made the first touch he had, he made a mistake. And remember, Italy won the ball back and Gazza had a shot. But after that, he got the better of Verratti. He kept on playing it around him. He kept on doing all the right things. I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, really good. And of course, they had Jeremy Pino as well, who came on to sub, the Villarreal 18-year-old, And he was terrific too.
He was brilliant. When he came on, he went past people. He got crosses into the box. He showed great pace. I think he looked an outstanding player. And that's what he's done for Villarreal. The only problem is he made the mistake for the goal, which probably just put a slight dampener on his performance. But overall, when he came on, he was excellent.
And what about Italy? They didn't really look at the races here in front of their home fans. They were expected to win this Nations League on home soil, but Spain had too much for them, simple as that.
They did, and they didn't get their tactics right. Bernardeschi, you know, we were talking about it before, and I couldn't see Bernardeschi playing as the centre-forward, and that's exactly what he did. It meant Chiesa, we didn't see the most of him, we didn't see enough of Insigne until he went to the centre-forward position, and in midfield, they were totally outplayed.
Yep, so it's Spain, and deservedly so. Bonucci's red card, quite important in the game, but I think Spain were dominating it anyway. Spain will go through to play the winners of Belgium and France, who play in the other semi in Turin.
Yeah, Spain, the underdogs, then through to Sunday's final, awaiting the match between Belgium and France. We'll see who will win that and who they'll face in the Nations League final. Let's welcome to the show as well, shall we? Gat Marcotti and Julien Laurent are with us. But Stevie, I want to start with you in the fact that just yesterday it was all doom and gloom surrounding Spain. You were struggling to give them any sort of hope.
Yep.
How did they get it so right today?
Well, they basically took advantage of the situations they created, which is what they hadn't been doing. Which is why, if you analyse what the problems have been, that's the conclusion that I came to yesterday. Today was a different ballgame. They took advantage of the situations. When you're on top, it's important that you score, because anything can happen.
Yeah.
And it could have happened. Insigne, Italy completely dominated, absolutely nothing, and they could have been straight back in the game, one chance, and he didn't take it. So, yeah, I mean, Spain were great, and Bonucci sold his mates down the river, because Robbo said it. They got the tactics wrong in the first half. If you're Mancini, you're waiting to half-time so you can get this thing.
A yellow card for you?
Oh, 100%.
He knows what he's doing.
Absolutely. Leads with his elbow. Should have known better. But, of course, everybody knew. As soon as this second yellow, red card sending off, the game's done. There was a bit of fun at the end.
Yes.
When they got that goal with 10 minutes to go. But I mean, the best team won by a mile.
Ali, what about Gavi? He's played more minutes in a single match for Spain than he has in his Barcelona career. Mm. 17 years of age and bossing midfield with Verratti in it.
And that's the area of the field that you expect Spain to be really good in. And we saw that in the Euros. And so we should not be surprised that Spain dominated once again the midfield. What we should be surprised is that instead of being Pedri, it's Gavi who's doing it.
Yep.
And that you slide in a 70-year-old kid and that he's doing what he's doing and in the manner in which he's doing it. Look, to see Busquets just being able to control the pace of the game, to see Koke and the pairing with Busquets working really well, that's not nearly as surprising as it is the fact that you see Gavi alongside them, and he too is also managing the pace of the game. And the three of them together dominating Jorginho, Berratti, Barella, all the sexy names from the Euros that you thought, well, Italy's so great because of these three guys. Then in comes Busquets. Koke, Busquets, who's had his issues with Barcelona this season.
Mm-hmm.
Koke, who's had injury issues with Atletico Madrid. And Gavi, who's a teenager. And all three together, absolutely, completely, they took the three from Italy and said, see you guys later. We're going to control the midfield tonight.
Jules, what a statement this was from Spain. Italy have never lost international level at San Siro. Yet they went in there, they bossed the game, and they thoroughly deserved the win.
Completely. I thought Italy could never manage with Marcos Alonso's movement and how high he played on the pitch. And we saw Chiesa not really helping Di Lorenzo as well defending. And that's how the first goal came. And then the second goal was very similar, albeit 11 against 10 men. But still, the position for Marcos Alonso and the way Koke dropped a bit as well to take his sort of area was very smart from Luis Enrique, who, as all the boys have said, got his tactics completely right. The way they blocked Jorginho and Verratti in midfield, that fluidity with the front three, and the movement from Sarabia, Oyarzabal and Ferran Torres was perfect. And I just thought it was very, very impressive. And whoever played them in the final, whether it's France or Belgium, have a huge game ahead of them because the Spain team, and in fairness, if you look back at the semi-final of the Euros, this is very much the result that we could have had in that semi-final as well at Wembley. Spain was so good for most of that game. They could easily have won 2-1 in the semi-final and went through to the final.
How big a deal is this for Italy, Gab?
I mean, look, it's disappointing, but when you're outclassed like this, and you knew it was coming. I said it on the show last night. You know, Spain, Italy do not match up well with Spain at all. I think there's going to be some disappointment over the sending off, not for the second yellow because 100% it's a yellow, but for the first yellow, where if you recall, Barella's called for a foul. Bonucci, who is the captain, who is allowed to speak to the referee, you know, runs over to him with his arms out wide, doesn't even really get close to him, and the guy books him immediately. Now, that said, Bonucci, you're a veteran, you're the captain, don't pick up a cheap yellow. Don't put yourself in a situation where you can get sent off, especially so close to halftime. And I think in that sense, it was a letdown. But, you know, in terms of the rest of what we saw, it's a reminder that Spain are really, really good. And I think it's also, in some ways, it's a validation of some of the work Mancini has done because he hasn't just stuck with big names from big clubs. He's called other players. You know, we mentioned Sarabia there. You know, I think a lot of people didn't even know who he was until he got called up for Spain, you know. So you've got people like that mixed in there. And that shows courage and it shows that at international level, you can be creative and do well if you know what you're doing.
So Spain then through to the Nations League final. We'll, of course, be discussing Belgium against France in a moment. But just a reminder, extra time, as always, is available over on our YouTube channel. Plenty of questions of the boys. Be sure to check that out. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Good game today, wasn't it? Hopefully matched by the second semi-final tomorrow. Should be a belter. Belgium taking on France. That game live on ESPN2 at 2:30 Eastern. Calling that game for us will be Stuart Robson and Ian Dark.
Well, it's a tasty looking game, isn't it? Belgium against France. They met, you might remember, in St. Petersburg in the semi-finals of the World Cup. And France won with a header from a corner, as I remember it, by Umtiti on that occasion. So what about this time? France disappointing at the European Championship, stories of rows in the camp. Belgium, is there one last big tournament in this, well, underachieving golden generation of theirs?
Well, I think Belgium are still a very good side. They've got some great attacking players. They've got Lukaku, who can score goals at will. He can hold up the play. But have they got enough defensively? I think he's going to go with a back three, as he often does. It means the wing-backs are going to be vital for Belgium. So they're a good side, but I still don't think Belgium quite have enough.
Yeah, it's funny the way it's worked out for this team. I mean, they're great qualifiers. They beat everybody. They're 100%. When it comes to it, an acid test, they're tending to fail it. I mean, they went out to Spain, didn't they?
Yep.
Or Italy, rather. Sorry, beg your pardon. Italy at the European Championships. And, you know, there was that semi-final at the World Cup. This is very much the last chance, isn't it, for this team?
Well, it might be a good hurrah for Roberto Martinez to move on to somewhere Well, it's been a lot of talk about him moving on.
But let's not be shy. We're talking about Barcelona, aren't we?
Yeah, we are talking about Barcelona. But it would be great for him if they could get a win and get in the final against Spain. And what a good game that would be.
France have got something to prove, though. I mean, it was all kind of hunky-dory for them, wasn't it? They won the World Cup. But there were these stories that kept on coming out of the camp during the European Championships. And then they messed it up again.
And it quite often happens, doesn't it, with France? Over the course of history, they've had arguments inside the camp. It hasn't quite worked out for them. They haven't played well at some tournaments, but on their day, I still think they're probably the best team in the world. On their day.
They've got something to prove here, though, haven't they?
They have. Yeah, they've got to make sure they play well against Belgium. They've got to make sure they get the attacking side of the game right. Knowing N'Golo Conte, who's key to the way they enable the front players to attack, because he can do that good defensive work, it's going to be a great game, I think.
With Spain waiting in the final, yeah. Should be a good one.
Oh, they're so close.
Oh. How big a game is this for France? Huge, according to Julien Laurent. He's been writing about it over on ESPN FC. Jules, for maybe those who haven't had time to read your excellent article, can you just elaborate on its contents, please?
Well, yeah, we focused a bit more on Deschamps because the last few months have been tough. It was tough before the Euros, during the Euros, after the Euros as well. They drew against Bosnia, they drew against Ukraine too. And Deschamps has struggled. And in recent years, before the Nations League existed, this would have been World Cup qualifiers, meaningless games against meaningless teams, not really anything to take away from those games. However, now, this is a huge opportunity for him to put things right, to bring this team on the right path again, especially before the World Cup, what we said 14, 15 months before the World Cup. If you win against Belgium and then if you beat Spain, it's a huge statement made that brings you confidence, that momentum that you've been really lacking the last few months, and you can find finally the right answer. He made a lot of wrong choices in the last 6 months or so. Now it's time for him to make the good choices, and if he does that and if the team plays well, and like Robo just said, if on their day they're really the team that they should be and they're very good and very strong, then I think this could be a real blessing for Deschamps and for the team going forward.
Let's take a look at how the bookies have this game set, shall we? Looking at that semi-final, France are favourites. Coming in 5-4 on Belgium evens. Remember this game in Italy. Let's take a look at everyone's predictions. Did you do your predictions earlier, Stevie?
Mm-hmm.
You done? Yeah.
Yep.
Let's take a look. Everyone's going for France, with the exception of Gab, who, to be fair, went for Spain today and got that one right. Why Belgium, Gab?
Well, I mean, I think Jules just kind of said it there. Deschamps is under pressure. The France haven't played great of late. If you look at some of these players who are going to be starting, whether it's Griezmann not in great form, Pogba not in great form. Plus, I said all along, I don't think Deschamps is any great shakes as a manager tactically. He may have some of the man management down, but the other side of the game is, let me just kind of sit back, defend, and wait for my talented players to do something. I appreciate Belgium are far from perfect, especially with the old guys at the back, but I think they're due a bit of luck in a major tournament.
Just a reminder then, ESPN AFC back on your screens tomorrow. We'll be reflecting on that game between Belgium and France. That's it? Oh, no, that's not it.
What?
Why? Kylian Mbappe's mother has been talking, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
We want more of.
Well, now we know where he gets it
from. Oh, my goodness me. This man has dominated everything over the last few days. And it continues, of course, with his mum. Jules, basically, am I right in thinking that she has told a newspaper in France that contract negotiations are ongoing with PSG? This seems very much against everything else that we've been hearing from the Mbappe camp.
Yeah, that's right. She gave a big interview to Le Parisien and some of their readers. I just so wish that Craig was in tonight to explode completely, because I think he's had enough already yesterday talking about Mbappe and all the interviews. But now the mum has been talking and saying the opposite pretty much to what her son has been saying. Amazing. Yeah, she said she talked to Leonardo as early as Monday night, that talks are going well, and that they might find an agreement or something for him to stay. Wow. This is crazy. It's blowing my mind.
That is unbelievable.
Jules, how is this being received in France? This is like a telenovela around the Mbappe family.
It's incredible, Dan. I mean, everybody's a bit lost and saying, okay, who do we believe? Do they not talk to each other? What kind of sort of media plan is this?
You know, did they do that on their own in their own corners?
You have to believe the merman. The merman is very important in the Mbappé clan. Even if she's separated now from Kylian Mbappé's dad, as she revealed in the interview as well.
But still, it's just mind-blowing.
The last 3 days of what the Mbappé mother and son have put out on the public's place.
And what does Rabiot's mum make of all of this?
Oh, no.
Well, funnily enough, Mbappé's mum also talked about that incident at the Euros, saying, you know, I went to tell her as a mum and as a woman what she did wrong. But then I was a bit disappointed how criticised she was the next few days. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, you started it. Oh, my God. Well, keeping up with the Mbappes will continue tomorrow, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Your mum ever get involved, Stevie?
Oh, no.
With moves from to Liverpool. Yeah. A lot more, of course, on this, on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Be sure to check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Commonwealth qualifying continues on Thursday. Both Brazil and Argentina look good, don't they, basically, to qualify for Qatar next. Ali, stop making noises. 4 points, you can still do it.
Mommy!
It's still possible for Venezuela.
What?
According to the bookies, Brazil are actually favourites to win the World Cup next year alongside a side called France. Argentina, meanwhile, down in eighth. Which got us thinking, Ali.
Yeah.
Out of those two teams, which is the more likely to win the World Cup next year?
Well, according to the odds, Brazil, of course.
What about according to Moreno?
You have to go back to 2002, last time a South American...
I know, we've discussed that. That's bonkers. That's 20 years ago.
Too long.
You had hair.
I had plenty of hair. Curly, flowing hair. That's all gone. When you consider that the last time this team's actually played a final, Copa America final, where was it? Brazil. Where was it? Maracana. Who won it? Argentina. You think, maybe Argentina has a better chance because of the way that they're playing now, a team that has been very pragmatic defensively, that are really tied through the midfield, that do a lot of work and sacrifice themselves, and then they say, you know what, hopefully Messi does something spectacular. Maybe he finds Di Maria. Maybe he finds Lautaro Martinez, and then we'll win a game 1-0. And that plan worked in Copa America. However, that plan, I don't think, will work at the World Cup. And so, therefore, I suggest that Brazil has more options to go to in the attack and more options to break teams down in the latter stages of the competition. I'll take Brazil.
Gab, do you agree?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brazil as well. You have to throw in the caveat that it's going to be 15 months from now, right? So we don't know what Messi's going to be like. We don't know what Di Maria is going to be like. And you can say the same thing for some of the Brazilian players. The problem is, you know, with Brazil, it is very much next man up. So that if some of the older players, if say Casemiro, you know, the first months of this year are a testament to the rest of the season, and he somehow loses his mojo, another guy can come in. You know, they have those options. They have a lot more depth. And I also think they have probably the best manager in the world outside of Europe in Chiche. And I think that can really make a difference too.
But do they have the quality? You take a look at that starting 11, Jules. You think, well, which of those players will get into France's team? You'd probably go Edison and Neymar and no more.
Well, I think Marquinhos has a shout. I think Fabinho probably, you know, if Fabinho plays in the holding role, Casemiro at his best, I guess. I think there's a few who have a good shout to go into any European sides, not just France. I agree with Gav. I think Chichi is amazing, and certainly I would trust him more than Scaloni to find answers at World Cup. In Qatar, for example. So I would go like the boys for Brazil. But we also saw at the Copa America that at times they lacked a bit of creativity, or certainly in the final thirds, they lacked a bit of something special in the final especially. But even before that, it was not always so great. So I think there's still a bit of work to do for Chichi and Brazil, but they certainly look a better bet than Argentina right now.
Gab, were you laughing at my suggestion?
I think
there was
so.
There was definitely some noises coming from the Marcotti basement.
Well, look, I can't believe that you disrespected Marquinhos like that to Jules, because Jules may be French, but I think he's just as much Paris Saint-Germain, if not more. So, yeah, it's a good thing Jules stayed cool there.
Oh, all right. God, it was the Gab and Jules team.
Hey, the podcast coming alive.
Right, so three players are getting to the France side. That's it. Stevie, where do you stand on Brazil's chances?
You got to go with Brazil. Yes, all the reasons I was thinking that Ali mentioned about they won the Copa Argentina in Brazil, against Brazil. But again, Gab said it, it's 15 months' time.
Yeah.
You got to wonder, is Messi still going to be able to be the leader in that team? And if he's not there for whatever reason, you wouldn't put a penny on Argentina, would you?
Well, you could say the same about Neymar, though, couldn't you?
But
you
can't. Well, that's the thing. You can't say that. Brazil.
Brazil is all Brazil, about Neymar.
But Brazil without Neymar are going to be way better than Argentina without Messi.
You can also project that in 15 months, what Vinicius Junior is going to be. What he has become early on in the season. If that continues and that growth continues, what is he in 15 months' time? You have to assume a much better version. And if that's the case, he would be an elite player available for Brazil.
So CONMEBOL qualifying continues then on Thursday. Let's just remind you of those fixtures that will take place. It will be Paraguay against Argentina, Uruguay against Colombia, Ecuador against Bolivia,
no!
Peru against Chile. You've got home advantage, Ali.
No!
Venezuela against Brazil.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The US continue their World Cup qualifying campaign tomorrow as they play host to Jamaica. That game live on ESPN2. Coverage starting at 7:30 Eastern. Let's look ahead to that match in more detail now with our team in Texas, Sebastian Salazar, joined by Casey Keller and Jermaine Jones.
Thank you very much, Dan. Austin, Texas, and it must be said, the beautiful, brand new Q2 Stadium, just about 24 hours away from a huge World Cup qualifier between the United States and Jamaica. Both teams jockeying for one of those three guaranteed spots to the next World Cup out of CONCACAF. Speaking of World Cups, got a couple World Cup veterans with me here, Casey Keller, Jermaine Jones. Jermaine, welcome to the team. I'll start with you. How are you feeling about this U.S. group after they got 5 points from those first three matches, and as we look ahead to Jamaica?
You know, I feel really comfortable, you know, like especially if I watched the last session like here in the training and all that stuff. I think the team knows that they have to step it up. You know, they have three games coming in front of them, two at home, so at least 7 points have to come. You have to make two wins at home, you know, first one here with Jamaica, and then, but I think the team is in a good shape.
Comfortable, not the word I was expecting.
Well, I mean, I think we've seen this side have a very successful summer. Then they came into qualifying, and it didn't start the way they would like it, but that second half against Honduras gave us a picture of what it can be and how explosive it can be and how they can get the goals and get the wins. I think because of that, it gives us that optimism that the job can get done more comfortably than it did in that first round.
Greg Berhalter just wrapped up his pre-match press conference, very coy with the media, but the one thing that he did guarantee is that Weston McKennie would be in the starting 11 tomorrow against Jamaica. Casey, your reaction?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I think it's
really?
I do.
After the two-match suspension last time around?
Right, but I think it's a situation where you have to go back with a player. You accept that mistakes are going to be made. You know, the conversation between the two of them, I'm sure, ironed some things out. Mm-hmm. And then you come back and you have an opportunity as well because you have Pulisic injured, you have Reyna injured, and you have a squad that you can't go buy players for your national team. You have the players you have. Weston, obviously, at a club the size of Juventus, he's a key component to this team going forward, and to get him back into the mix quickly and to put things right from went wrong, I think it's a huge opportunity.
You agree with the decision to put him in the starting lineup?
Look, it's pretty easy. Like, he's one of the leaders in this team, right? This mm-hmm. He plays for Juve, so at the end as a coach, now you why not put him in? You want to win games, you want to get to the World Cup, right? So if you not have a chance, like right now, what happened? So you put him in place, he has to show up. Now it's no excuse for him, you know? He knows what happened and what, you know, he has to now show up on the field. And so I think Craig Behel is doing the right thing. I would play him too.
As we mentioned, the U.S. did get 5 points from those first three matches in CONCACAF. It leaves them in a three-way tie for second. Again, the top three teams automatically to the World Cup, fourth into the Intercontinental Playoff. No Gio Reyna. No Christian Pulisic, no John Brooks, no Tim Ream, Casey. What's a realistic haul for the U.S. in this window?
Well, Jermaine said it. The realistic haul has to be 7 points. I mean, you have to look at these two home games as wins.
As yeah. wins or must wins?
Not must wins. I mean, I'm not going to go too crazy because yeah. you can still see that that in the last round when you slip up against Canada, you can still go on the road and pick up 3 points.
You don't want to be counting on road points in CONCACAF.
Exactly.
Right?
And so what you have to do is you have to look at Jamaica, who is struggling at the moment, getting their players that they want to have either fit or into the squad. They're in last place in the group, and you're at home. Expectation, you win that game, you go down to Panama, obviously changes are going to have to be made. You're talking about 3 games in a short window. The squad's going to come into play. But win your home games, pick up something on the road.
Yeah. 7 points. I mean, that's a lot of points considering all the guys that are out. Is that realistic?
No, I said it before. That's why I said comfortable, right? Like, because if I watched the game in Honduras, first half, I think we were not good. We were sleeping, and we made a lot of mistakes. But then second half, when you see Christian Pulisic was out, you know, Brooks was out in the time
Reyna
already.
Reyna was out, too.
Reyna was out.
Well.
So this group has the quality to shine, you know. And now when I look at here, the field, like what they have, like with the 2 home games with Jamaica and then going to Panama, you know, and then having Costa Rica, I have to say, like, there's 7 points you have and 6 points at least you have to win because there's no excuse anymore. And you have to show it up. We talk about, like, how much quality they have. It's a young group and all that stuff. But now it's to shine it and to show it.
We're looking back at the match against Honduras. The first half, Casey, really, really a poor performance from the U.S. And actually, at halftime of this game, the feel around this team was just very, very negative.
Yeah, and here's a prime example. There's Tyler Adams with the ball, almost equal with the 18-yard box in the attacking third. 2-pass, 3-pass, backwards. Here's an opportunity to take a player on, put a cross in the box, cause some...
Are they trying to possess too much, or what's happening there? Why isn't it working? Because it's totally different in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, well, look at the numbers running into the box, Jermaine. I mean, there's guys, there's numbers that weren't there in that first half.
And I have to say, like, I think the first half, what happened, too, a lot of players that played out of their positions. Mm-hmm. I think the system of playing a 5-3-2 was not the right system to play with this team, you know? So this is why you saw, like, when they got back to a 4-3-3, they played a way better game, and then you see, like, they score goals, and, you know, and that's the team what I want to see here tomorrow against
Jamaica. Yeah, aggressive. Take on the opponent. You're playing a Jamaican side that's looking at that table, mm-hmm. they're sitting at the bottom of the table. Let's see, don't let them feel their way into this game. Be aggressive with them. Put them under pressure. Put crosses in the box. Get numbers in the box, and make that defense make difficult decisions.
Yeah. We mentioned all the absences for the United States. No Leon Bailey, no Mikel Antonio for Jamaica. Huge absences for the visitors. Our coverage starts 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time across all ESPN platforms. Dan, back to you.
Thank you very much, Seb. But just a reminder, for 1 week only, Football Americas will be on Friday, not Thursday, giving the boys the opportunity to react to that big game in Texas.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Stevie, get ready.
What happened?
Extra time
Ooh.
Is very critical of a lot of statements that you've made over the last couple of days.
Wow.
People are not happy or indeed impressed.
Be sure. They need to go and get a 10 helmet on.
Get some tissues, you'll be crying.
What?
I'm going home.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Ali with us, Steve. Is that wire from you?
What?
What's, do you need to plug that in? Can you not hear anyone?
Here.
Well, I was shocked. Actually, you caught me on the hop there, can you? And hello, Extra Time. I thought.
Right, okay, right. Ali will sort you out. Gab right, and Jules are with us while this continues here. Gab, I wanted to ask you something that I didn't have the chance to on the show. Why was everyone booing Donnarumma?
There we go. You're good now, Steve.
Well, I still kind of hit him.
Because the game was in Milan, and because he played for Milan, and because he turned down their contract offer and left as a free agent. And, you know, we've been here before with him, but, you know, nobody likes that. And I think there's a fair bit of schadenfreude as well, given that, you know, he's often Keylor Navas's backup at Paris Saint-Germain. But, yeah. Milan fans really, really, really do not like him right now, as often happens when you pull what they consider to be a bit of a Judas move.
Ooh. A lot of bad blood towards Donnarumma. I take a lot of bad blood towards you, Steve.
What?
Over some of the comments you've made over the last couple of days.
No. Like what?
You will see. I think we've got seven questions. Five of them are having a go at you.
Okay.
First one, Stevie got it wrong and Gab was right. Spain got the win.
Is there a question there?
Correct.
Right.
Absolutely, and they deserve that.
Because yesterday you said Spain had no chance.
Well, I put it that going forward, you don't know what you're going to get. And I also put it that defensively, they make mistakes and give goals away as much as they keep the ball. I think it was a rational conclusion I came to why I thought Italy would win the game. No, just turns out that I was wrong. And they absolutely, on the day, were fantastic and deserved to win the game.
So that's your first comment. You said that basically Spain had no chance. Second comment, somewhere over the last 24 hours, you said Jorginho should be getting the Ballon d'Or. Please ask Stevie why he said on individual performances Jorginho deserves a Ballon d'Or. What performance? Scoring penalties.
Well, I think that's unfair to, you know, it's a team game.
Right.
And people will turn around and say, well, Messi can do it on his own and Ronaldo can do it on his own. But that's not true. They have to get the ball from somewhere. And if they don't get a supply, then they can't score goals, the two of them. And what Jorginho has done for Chelsea and Italy has been fantastic.
So he was the best player in the world last year?
I never said that.
That's what the Ballon d'Or is given for, isn't it?
Well, that's not true. That's not true. It's not. Listen, if it was to be given to the best player in the world, depending on what side of the fence you're on, either Messi should have won it the last 12 years, or Ronaldo, depending on where
you sit. And that's pretty much the way it's going.
Which by the way, shut up and let me finish.
Yep.
Because you're being clever now.
Not being clever, just saying facts.
Well, no, you're not, because you're not clever.
I'm just saying facts.
Anyway, if Barcelona and Real Madrid had won nothing, Portugal had won nothing.
Right.
Argentina had won nothing.
Yes.
And it was to be the best player in the world, then one of those two would have won it.
Right. But they had won things. For example, Argentina won
I'm just telling you that had they not.
No, but they had.
But had they not.
Right.
And if it's supposed to be the best player in the world, they would still have got it.
Okay. But for example, Messi.
So Jorginho. So your argument is, well, he did win things with a team.
Yes.
Right. Well, Jorginho won things with his team.
Sure. But who would you have from their performances
last year?
So it's
not the best player in the world.
Do I want Jorginho? I want Messi.
So it's not the best player in the world then?
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Are you right? Are you telling me that you think Jorginho's the best player in the world?
No.
Right. Ask me the same question.
Was Jorginho the best player in the world last year?
No, he's not the best player in the world.
So why do you want to give him the Ballon d'Or?
Well, because his achievements.
Right.
He achieved the Champions League.
Yes.
With Chelsea.
Yes.
And he achieved the Euros
yes.
with Italy.
Correct.
He was part of two incredibly successful teams.
Yes.
And that's why he deserves it. He made a huge contribution to both.
Very true.
Doesn't mean that I think if I'm in a schoolboy yard pick tomorrow,
okay,
that I'm picking him first.
So your credentials are different to most. Pretty much, Lewandowski broke Gertmüller's record, which no one thought would ever be broken.
No, for that reason alone, he could win it.
Right.
If I'm picking a team tomorrow, right?
Yes.
And it's between Lewandowski or Jorginho first.
Yes.
I'm picking Lewandowski.
Right. Okay.
So that's two players ahead of Jorginho.
Right.
You're picking.
So what's the criteria?
But everyone has different criteria, isn't it? I think that's the thing.
Well, that's exactly the problem. That's why we criticise the Ballon d'Or every single year, and we have the same argument every single year.
Right.
Well, he played for better teams. Well, Lewandowski doesn't. He plays for Poland, right. He's never.
But Jorginho is an interesting pick. I know he won two.
Well, we'll go back to your smart aleck. Is he the best player in the world?
Right.
Well, he's not.
Right. Okay. So, would you like to change your mind?
I think we just cleared that, right?
Yeah, that was very rational, Steve. Very rational.
Right. So, and what they're referring to is,
yes,
I basically had to pick from three players: Messi,
right,
Lewandowski, and Jorginho.
Well, yes, but you've already said you prefer Lewandowski and Messi in this discussion.
Yes. No, I didn't.
You said you were in a playground. You picked Lewandowski.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I'll tell you what. Let's go back to Messi now.
Right.
So should Messi win it because Argentina won the Copa America?
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Away you go. So if it's supposed to be the best player in the world,
yes,
right, if Argentina hadn't won the Copa America, yes, Messi wouldn't have got it.
No. But they did.
But the team won it.
Well, because of Messi.
Arguably. Arguably because of Messi.
Okay.
I'll tell you what,
away you go.
You like heads and tails, don't you?
Okay, right.
Hey.
Sorry, Gamajules, it's more for Stevie, who upset other people over the last 24 hours. Stevie, I'm not even a Benzema fan, but I was shocked yesterday by how you gave him no appreciation and credit for his dominating start to the season.
Well, that's... It's amazing how people take things a completely different way.
Right. You said yesterday Benzema only scores tap.
Listen, we were doing extra time,
uh-huh,
and we were talking about Mo Salah's goal, how fantastic it was.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And I was forcing the point by saying, "Oh, what's Benzema done? Okay. What's Benzema done?"
Right. So would you like to take that back?
Oh. No, Benzema's never scored a goal as good as Mohamed Salah's the other day. He scored plenty of goals.
Okay.
But has he scored a better goal than Mohamed Salah's? I don't think so.
Let's bring in Julien Laurent.
I don't think so.
Stevie, come on. I mean, that goal was amazing from Salah. But Karim Benzema has done amazing stuff.
Give me the goal.
Was the question the best goal?
I give you the Champions League last season where he controlled the ball with his head and then volley against Liverpool. That was a hell of a goal. That was an amazing goal.
Yes, it was an amazing goal.
Right.
It was an amazing
goal. But the question wasn't best.
The move against Atletico Madrid in the Champions League.
I can't remember.
No, I didn't say that was better than Salah. I said that he also had an amazing moment. Against Atletico Madrid in the Champions League, he didn't score from it, but he assisted from it. It's very similar to what Mo Salah did at the weekend, if you remember it, in the middle of three Atletico Madrid players, and then that ended up in a goal in a game that was such a big game in the semi-final of the Champions League.
It's amazing
against
that all of a sudden every word you say is gospel.
How should we take your words that you say?
Yes. Not serious.
Listen, considering the atmosphere of extra time. We're not putting our mortgages on the line, are we?
Okay, let's turn away from your criticism of a lot of players to your technology.
Oh, no, it's easy.
Stevie, do you own a Tesla? And what do you think of self-driving vehicles?
I don't own a Tesla.
Right.
But I don't think I would trust a self-driving car.
Right.
Right now, to be honest with you.
No.
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 No. Sorry, is that not enough?
Hey, that's fine. I'm with Steve in this one.
Gab, aren't you best friends with Elon Musk, or did I make that up?
Oh, you can't
make school together. I'm best friends with Elon. We went to university together. We went to
there you go. Oh, I knew there was a connection. I remember that from when we were together somewhere.
Oh.
Now, this is a good question.
But by the way, sorry, just on the self-driving cars, I don't know if anybody's ever been in there. You know that you still have to have your hands on the wheel, right, as the car drives itself.
Why?
So in terms of like resting or whatever, all you're doing is just not moving the steering wheel, but you still have to put your hands there. So I don't know, man. I think they kind of need to step it up several levels before you really get that value added.
Yeah, can't you just go in the back and have a nap? What's the point in having your hands on the wheel?
You can't. No, it doesn't work. The car doesn't work.
It's like
unless
a Disney
you have your hands, if it doesn't feel.
Yeah. The Grand Prix?
Yeah, the Grand Prix of Disney World. Got to get off the track. What's the point? Okay, right.
That's a great ride, right? Man.
Hey, it's a classic.
Oh, I don't know.
It's a classic. Oh. Right, anyway. Okay, this is a good question. Who would you choose, or what would you choose?
Uh-huh.
Vardy's career or Harry Kane's career?
Ooh. Ooh. See, because Vardy's
isn't
got...
Isn't that good?
Vardy's got the...
Yeah.
He's got the Premier League. Huh?
Yeah.
Wow. I want to take Harry Kane. I don't think he's done yet. And I think he, whatever his next move is, may just land him in a team that will win a title.
What if he doesn't?
Tell you what, he's not got long, you know.
I mean, what if he doesn't win a title?
That's not part of the question.
No, I'm now.
Oh, okay. This is an addendum.
He loves He loves heads and tails, remember.
Okay.
No, I take Harry Kane.
Despite the fact he hasn't won anything?
I'll take Harry Kane.
Stevie?
I mean, Vardy's... Listen, Keynes is a... You know, they sing he's one of our own for a reason, right? So that's a great story. But Jamie Vardy's story is incredible. Non-league and...
He's won the Premier League.
And he's won the Premier League. So I'm going to go with Vardy. Because Keynes is running out of time.
Right.
I mean...
Golden boot at the World Cup? Does that sway anything?
Yeah, but... Premier League title over a golden boot.
Yeah.
I'll take the Premier League title.
Gab, who would you want to be? Harry Kane or Jamie Vardy?
I'll tell you what, and I view this differently because I like stories about people who play for the clubs that they supported as kids, and if they win something, it's worth more. If Harry Kane stays at Spurs, even if he never wins another title, I would go Harry Kane. Because it's a great story and because he scored more goals and because I think he's a better player. If he leaves, I mean, I have to take the opposite view. If he leaves to join City or Bayern Munich or whatever, and he wins a title on a team that's likely to win a title anyway, to me, that's worth a lot less than what Jamie Vardy did.
Jules?
I'm in Tim Kane as well on this one, I have to say.
Really? Mm. Why?
Yeah. One of the famous players, I think, is a more talented player than Jamie Vardy. And yeah, Jamie Vardy won this miraculous title with Leicester, and it was fantastic that season. And he's been fantastic for a few years.
But he's the best player, isn't
he? Yeah, I'm just more of a Harry Kane guy.
Nice.
That's all right. I mean, Danny Drinkwater has won a Premier League title as well, so...
Yes, but he wasn't key in that, was he?
Well, yes, he was. Drinkwater was key to that title.
He was the face, wasn't he, of the title?
Well, no, I understand. But when you consider Leicester City winning that title, you think of the sum of the parts. You don't think about the individuals in that team.
I'm just thinking, obviously, you guys have played. Well, when you're lying back thinking your retirement, Vardy will think back to that win.
Yeah.
Harry Kane will think back to the losses, no? Or the nearlies, or the just almost.
Well, I hope not. I hope that he looks back in his career and he's proud of what he has achieved.
No, I'm saying he'd be proud, of course, but there'll be that little gap.
No, but see, for you it's a but for him there may not be a but.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Well, you can only answer it on right now.
Right.
That's why I would go with Vardy. If Kane and Spurs somehow win the Premier League, then it changes.
Right.
But right now,
And that
I think you've got
is
to go.
Not likely.
Okay, whoa. Good question.
Whoa.
Gab, for someone so wonderfully talented, not you, why did Roberto Baggio change clubs that much? The guy played for all the big teams in Italy, save for Napoli. Was it an attitude issue?
No, I don't think it was. But by the way, he also didn't play for Roma. They kind of Napoli and Roma kind of have a thing there. So I'm sure Roma fans appreciate you saying that. No, I think the reality of Roberto Baggio is he achieved much more for the national team than, weirdly, he achieved certainly at big clubs in Italy. I'd argue that probably after towards the end of his second season at Juventus, when Juve made the shift towards Ale Del Piero, Baggio almost kind of became a problem because Italian managers looked at him, and especially back then, they're like, well, how much running does he do off the ball? How much does he work? Oh, you know, he's not as good an athlete as Del Piero. He's not as strong. He's not as smart or whatever. And so, you know, when he moved from there to Milan, it was almost like Milan were doing Juve a favor to bring him on board. And I know it sounds crazy. And then in Milan, you know, very tactical managers, oh no, you know, you don't fit into my schemes. Rigosaki saying, oh, what do I do with this guy? Capello doing, what do I do with him? It was Capello at the time. You know, and so then he goes to Bologna, scores a billion goals, moves back to Inter, and it's all great. Oh, look, Baggio, Vieri, Ronaldo, whatever. And then it doesn't work out for him because you can't have too many attacking players on the pitch at the same time, and the other guys are younger and better paid or whatever. So that's kind of been the arc of his career. And then obviously then he moves on, goes to Brescia and scores a ton of goals until he's very, very old. But it is the weird thing with Baggio and why he resonates with Italy is that he is seen first and foremost as an Italy player, and then secondly as, you know, all the clubs that he played for.
What's he doing now, Gab?
I think he's generally hanging out. He had some involvement with the FA for a while. He's a pretty esoteric guy. A lot of people know the story about how he.
I don't know what that word means.
Okay. In a heavily Catholic country like Italy, he decided when he was sort of 19 years old and living in Florence, one day he wanders into a bookshop because he's bored at night because he can't sleep because of the pressure of playing for Fiorentina, runs into a guy who runs the bookshop and says, hey, did I ever tell you about Buddha? And he becomes a Buddhist, of course. Oh. Changes his religion. That caused some unrest at the time, surprised a lot of people. So he's always a guy who's kind of marched to the beat of his own drummer. Italy, especially back then, is very disciplined, almost militaristic. If you want to be a footballer, you have to follow all these rules. And that just didn't always suit him.
Esoteric.
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 Come on now.
Come on.
Esoteric. could never afford my own drummer.
No. Back to you, Stevie.
Uh-huh. No.
Oh, did I get a break there?
Whatever happened to your diet that you started in the new year?
Yeah. Well, surprisingly enough, it went the way of all the other ones.
Right. Yeah.
Shocking.
Shockingly. Do not fear.
Why?
There's another one starting shortly.
When Eleanor's back on Saturday, yes?
Yes.
Right? And that'll kickstart
the new one.
How long will that last?
Ooh, if you go by the history of my diet...
Over and under 72 hours.
48 hours I'm going for. Final question for Dan.
Oh.
Who would win in a 2-versus-2 match if played tomorrow? Stevie and Gab versus Jules and Ali.
Oh, come on. 2v2 in whatever.
That's an easy one.
2v2 in whatever.
Well, see, it could be a problem because I can guarantee you Gab probably can move better than me right now, so
right.
That's not a good start.
Okay.
So you're depending on Gab?
Yes.
Right.
Gab's carrying me.
Gab, would you like to come to Team Stevie and Gab's defence at all here?
You know, if we're talking right now as opposed to absolute peak of our professional powers, but I do have to concede... Julian loves his techers. He is actually a very competent amateur footballer. So
that's the most backhanded compliment I've ever heard.
I'm an amateur.
And Well, he's 40. He's retired now, right? Jules, it was your birthday the other day. So, you know, they got a couple years on us, too. Monday, so, yeah. So
yeah, it's not a contest. It's
just, okay. So, basically, what would you fancy your chances at? 2v2 against Ali and Jules. Any sport, what would you say? I would beat you at that right now.
Right now? Tennis.
Tennis?
Oh, easy now.
Yeah?
Hey, I can get around the court.
No, no way.
You'd have to.
No way. Right?
You'd have to get around the court.
Oh. Right, Steve.
Gab can beat the net.
Stevie and Gab versus Jules and Ali. You'd fancy your chances. Tennis?
Aye.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Gab?
Yeah, I think so. I think I got a big serve. I can do that.
Yep.
No chance.
Zero.
The only thing you can beat us at is darts or maybe pool. That's all you can beat us at.
Oh, wow. We've got to make this happen.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you're going to upset some dart and pool players.
Why?
What's wrong with darts and pool?
Who said darts and pool? Didn't he? I missed that. Someone's in my ear.
Very derogatory tone as well.
Oh, wow. Mm. You'd be darts and pool if you fancy.
It wasn't. Yes. Hey, to give you some
hope. Games.
Yeah. I can tell you where there is no chance for Jules and
pub
myself.
Games. Right.
A beer drinking game.
Beer drinking?
Right. At that point, this guy wins it, running away. Gab doesn't even need to participate.
Beer pong is that's just game over. But we reckon darts, pool, tennis.
No, tennis, no chance.
No,
I can get around the court.
Wow.
As I said, he'd have to.
Hey, this can be good.
Pub games, absolutely. Gab and I would destroy them.
There you are.
Yeah, well, yes, for sure. I cannot even tell you last time I was in a pub.
That is it.
How's your dominoes, Gab?
Oh, is it? The Stevie and Gav Olympic. Be sure to join us tomorrow. We're talking not about soccer.
What?
What?
Soccer ball.